This is Amazing Grace Fellowship in Pueblo West, Colorado. We're so glad you're joining us today. Get connected at agfpw.org.
Everyone has a story. Some people have a story worth telling. Some people have stories they would rather not tell. The decisions you make today will determine the stories you tell tomorrow. A successful life is not made up of a few big decisions, but of hundreds and hundreds of small ones. What will your story be? My story, living the story you want to tell.
Amen. I am so excited that you're here this morning, and I'm so excited to begin a new sermon series titled My Story, Your Story, Living the Story You Want to Tell. Now, we just come off of our weekend conference or workshop, and I'll tell you, there are a lot of great stories at AGF. Many of you know mine, I don't know all yours, but there are still some stories that I would love to share. Big idea, the elderly lady gave it to us, but let's look on the screen. Let's share it together real loud. The decisions we make today will determine the story we'll tell tomorrow. Now, what's the date today? February 10th. I mean, let's really get this where the rubber meets the road, okay? Because we're talking about your life and your story beginning today. Now is the time to start the small disciplines that can lead to big changes. Are you with me? I get to talk to you about discipline. And that D word isn't a real popular word because discipline sometimes is not fun. Ask any athlete who's training for the big race, especially to win. They have to deny themselves some things so that they can experience their victory. But today we get to start talking about starting some life-altering disciplines and habits. And, you know, that's really right down our alley, isn't it? Because we are disciples of Christ, aren't we? We're Christ followers. We're disciples, his disciples. And the root word is all in that word. We're disciplined ones. Someone once said that discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Let that resonate with you. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. In fact, let's say it together. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Again, everyone has a story. We all have a story, but not everyone has a story they want to tell. There are positive stories that you and I would be proud to tell, but then there are other stories that we would not be proud to tell. There are two questions I want to leave you with today that you need to ask yourself, and they are these two. Number one, what does God want you to want? And number two, this is really the application question. What do you need to start? Let's go back to question one. What does God want you to want? What story does God want you to tell, or what does he want you to want? And so you need to ponder that question. And I think there is probably a story that we all would want to tell, but it's going to require some discipline. Small disciplines, hundreds of little decisions that will create that big story that we want to tell? What story does God want you to tell 1 year from now? Perhaps 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. And how do we live the story then that we want to tell? I'll tell you how. You allow God to help you write your story. Hebrews 12:2 says that we are to look unto Jesus. He is the author. Huh? What chapter is he writing today in your life on February 10th? He is the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. I got great news. Philippians 1:7. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. As you walk with the Lord, hand in hand. Let's let him write a great story so that we can share it with others. It could be a spiritual story. I'll tell you, there's nothing like peace with God. Everybody in the world today is looking for peace. But they're looking in all the wrong places. I've said it many times. Peace is not found in a pill. It's amazing the drug epidemic that's happening in our nation today. Yeah, how stupid were we as a nation to allow marijuana to come into our communities all across the nation now as a recreational drug, a gateway drug to all the other drugs. Now it's methamphetamines and now it's heroin and now I understand fentanyl is in our neighborhood. It is, I think, almost 99% more potent than morphine. And our children are becoming addicted to these drugs. They can find peace, but not in a pill, but in a person. The person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It could be, and we all have a spiritual story, I hope. And if you don't have a spiritual story, hopefully that story could begin today because of your relationship with God. It could be a relational story. Peace with others. I'll tell you what, there's nothing like having harmony in your relationships with others. And it all begins in your relationship with God. If this relationship's right, this relationship's going to be right. Beginning with your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, right? Love God, love your neighbors yourself. It's the greatest commandment. And so today, I want to pray that God would even bring some relational stories into our hearts and into our lives as we commit to serving Him. It could be a physical story or a get in shape story. Tell you, there's some great get in shape stories here at AGF. And can I just remind you that know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in you? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. There's some great, great physical stories that are happening right now in this room. Among these people, a financial story, a get out of debt story. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people. You know what? In the first service, I met a new family. And they had two little ones. And we were so honored to meet them. And you're going to hear me speak in just a moment about Dave Ramsey as I talk to you about a financial story. But I asked, well, how did you hear about us? Well, we just moved into Pueblo West about 2.5 months ago. And we remember coming here because we attended a Dave Ramsey class about 2.5 or 3 years ago. And I just preached about it. And so it resonated with them. And they're telling the story now 3 years from when they first encountered this class. A financial story. So today's message is deciding to start Living the story you want to tell will require you deciding to start today, February 10th. Next week, we're going to look at deciding to stop. The following week, deciding to stay the course, whereby then you'll be able to decide to go tell your story. Perhaps a financial story could go something like this. I was drowning in debt. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I don't know what percentage of America is living paycheck to paycheck, but it is up there. But if you start today sticking to a B word, budget. I'm glad you didn't. Budget. Say it with me. Budget. Attending a financial class. Dave Ramsey. Yeah. Some of you are in this class and you've attended that class and you're reaping today the benefits of the knowledge you gained from that class. You put away your credit cards. You trusted God with His portion, aka the tithe, the tenth portion. Can I remind you that it all belongs to God anyway? The earth is the Lord's and all them that dwell therein and the fullness thereof. Yes, it all belongs to everything we own belongs to Him. He just asks us to steward what He blesses us with. He gives us the power to get wealth. And all He's asking for is the tenth portion. I cannot tell you how true God's word is regarding finances. Give and it shall be pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. I could tell you that the open heaven is real. I don't understand it, but it's a proverb. There is he who withholds that is justly due, and it tends only to poverty. And then there's he who scatters and yet increases all the more. It's the law of God and it works. Thank you. It works. And if you're going to live to tell a story worth living, you need to get a hold of this truth in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye the tithe, the whole tithe, into the storehouse. Test me now. In this new year, try God and see if He won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So much that there's not even room for you to contain that blessing. Deciding to start today, your story can tomorrow be, now I'm saving. What was once a monthly credit card payment, and now it's a deposit into my personal savings account. Well, your story could become 5 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now. We were living paycheck to paycheck. Now we have money in the bank. We're debt free except our home. And we're even axing away at that too. Come on. God's positioned you as His children to be the head and not the tail. Those who are in debt are in bondage and they are a slave to the borrower. The only slave you are to be is a slave to God and a slave to righteousness. And I would pray that God could help us to see that story come true in all of our lives. Let me share with you a couple of my stories from the past 5 to 10 years. It's a spiritual story. Of course, the greatest story was when Christ revealed Himself to me and I became saved. I was a freshman on campus. I was just a young kid. I was experiencing the party scene in high school and just barely into college. And I had a friend who shared his story constantly with me. I mean, this story about the persistent widow works. It was a persistent friend in my life. And because of his importunity, I finally went to class, a campus Bible study. I had a Bible, it was called Good News for Modern Man, but I never opened it in all my teen years. I went to catechism, but on that day that I attended that class, they handed me a Bible and they studied from Matthew chapter number 7, verse 14. This is my little necklace that I wear that has inscribed on the back about the narrow road and the wide road. Matthew 7 verse 14. Because it was a life-altering verse. I had to decide after that study, was I on a narrow road or a wide road? So anyway, great story. That's just my testimony of experiencing Christ. But I want to share with you another spiritual story that goes something like this. I was introduced to a book about 7 or 8 years ago. Rick and Jan Foreman were in the first service. It's a book titled Fasting by Jensen Franklin. He's a pastor in Georgia. And it says, opening the door to a deeper, more intimate, more powerful relationship with God. I just wonder, is there anybody here who desires a deeper, more intimate, more powerful relationship with God? Well, not only give, not only pray, go into your closet, but fast. And so in this book, we're introduced to this 21-day Daniel fast. And this fast is changing my life yearly. And in many ways, it's changing your lives too, because we as a church for 7 years at the beginning of every year, we call people to search and to see where they're at and go after God with new intentionality. And so we commit to read our Bible and to pray, but moreover to fast. And so it means day one, no more pleasant food. That's what Daniel did for 21 days. No pleasant food. No meats, no sweets, no treats. And God only knows how Pastor Mark loves sweets. My supplement was GCC. You can't buy it at the mall because you're thinking of the vitamin store. GCC is German chocolate cake. But day one, no pleasant food, water only. Day two, no coffee, water only. Day three, no coffee. Day four, no coffee, water only, no sugary drinks. Day five, how many know, are you relating with me? No coffee. No sweets. No cookies. Speaking of cookies. Now, how many of y'all like the outcome of the Super Bowl last week? I was rooting for the Patriots too. Look at this. That's a cookie. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I'm not on the Daniel fast no more. Nobody touched that cookie. But again, day three, into day four, into day five, into day six, into week two, into day 24, or 2020, and then 21, and we celebrate, you know? But it was the small disciplines that can lead to big changes. Now you feel closer to God. You're hearing His voice. You're in tune with the Holy Spirit. From our workshop yesterday, Forrest emphasized so much the importance, if we're going to witness and share the love of Jesus with others and share our story, we've got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? We need His leading. We're reading through the Bible. We're journaling. We're hearing His whisper. You know why it's a whisper? Remember, He spoke in the still, small voice. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. But He was in the gentle whisper. It's because He wants to get close. In this new year, we're still in this new year. Draw near to me and I will draw near unto you. And that's what the Daniel fast has meant for us as a church. We've all drawn closer to God. And I tell you, this is a year I'm just believing that God could blow the roof off of this place. This service can fill up easy. as we share our story, the life that's worth living to tell because of these small disciplines. And the 21-day Daniel fast has meant just that for me. Let me tell you another story. It's a physical story that goes something like this. It all started when our son Ryan entered the Marine Corps. He came back after 1 year of college and he said, "Mom, Dad, I'm enlisting in the United States Marine Corps." Of all people, Ryan? He was a monster musician, great musician, and had auditioned with the Marine Band. They had heard him in high school. They had the best jazz band in the state there at Centennial High School under the direction of Momo, Kevin Mormon. But I could tell you this, that he was speaking to his overweight dad that day, and I wanted to identify with the rigors of exercise and getting in shape that he would be going through once he left for 13 weeks into boot camp. Now, some of you know about that boot camp. In fact, how many of you have ever encountered boot camp before in this room? Let me see your hands real quick, because you're a U.S. veterans and we're proud of you. In fact, why don't you stand? We don't have to dishonor you on Veterans Day. If you're a United States veteran in this place, you've gone through boot camp, stand so we can honor you. Look at that. Look all around. Yeah, thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Now, let me say this about all of you. You can understand what I'm talking about then when I'm talking to you about these small disciplines. Because if you didn't have them before you went into boot camp, by the time you exited boot camp, you had them. You made your bed. For the first time. But I wanted to identify with my son while he was 13 weeks in this training. See, I was touched with the feeling of his infirmities. Isn't that sound like Hebrews 4? For we have not a high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He took on human flesh. He came to live among us so that he can identify with our weakness, so that we, through our weakness, can be made strong in him. And so here I was one day, turned into 2 days, turned into 3 days. I'm 190 pounds, probably about 30 pounds more than I am right now. Turned into 4 days. Turned into 1 week. Turned into 2 weeks. Turned into 3 weeks. Turned into 10 weeks. Turned into 13 weeks. And on the day he graduated, proud parents flew to San Diego, to Camp Pendleton, and then where we got to see our son for the very first time with no hair, in a suit, marching. So proud. A picture from that event was, I think Jeanette was behind, and they had graduated. They were released to go be with their parents, and we're all loving and hugging and crying, but we then move on and I'm walking. I wish I would have put it on the screen. Ryan just is so shocked at, "Dad, what happened to you?" Because, I mean, here I am now almost like 30 pounds lighter. But I can just simply tell you that it was just the small discipline that led to a big change, not only for him, but even for me. And I'm telling you, too, can have that physical story if you just can take the challenge and live the story you want to tell. Someone once said, you can't have a spiritual ministry without a physical body. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you're dead, there's no more ministry, right?
So I want to finish well. And so I've decided still to this day to make exercise a part of my weekly routine. I want to take care of this body. I know the Bible says exercise profits little, but hey, that's no excuse to not exercise. It says train yourself rather to be godly, for bodily exercise profits little. That doesn't get you off the hook, meaning you don't have to go walking or you don't have to do a little bit of strength training. Come on. Know ye not that your body, again, is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, and God wants you to glorify Him in your body and your spirit, which are His. Marilyn Vargas, that crazy lady that ran up here and said, oh, I'm going to, guess what, Pastor Rubble, guess what, I found a conference we're going to in Cancun. That crazy lady, I tell you what, her physical story is amazing. I'm going to ask her to come and tell that story sometime soon. Because if you saw the before and after, it would blow you away. She's been in the Pueblo Chieftain. And it's amazing. But you know what? That story can become your story too. If you will just commit to small disciplines that can lead to big changes. Now, based on what you believe God wants you to do, and I'm going to close, you need to ask the question, what do you need to start? And so this is that application question. And whatever it is, whatever you feel in your heart that you know God wants you to do, and you know what it is. I know for me, it's the back office sweets. Man, I tell you what, I have sweets at my within my reach every day in this line of work. And sometimes I fail the test. And once I failed it, I've blown it. I already had one donut, two donuts. I go to another meeting. There's more donuts. I might as well have another donut, three donuts. And before you know it, all I ate that whole day was donuts. That's because sugar is addictive. Probably more addictive than cocaine. And I've come off this fast. And honestly, I've done my best. I can't tell you that I won't eat that cookie, but it'll just be one, not 12. I can't tell you that I won't eat a cream puff. Tony Volturo was in the first service. She makes the best cream puffs probably in the state of Colorado. And they're here. Peanut butter cookies, they're here. So it's, what do they say? Moderation, everything in moderation. Well, 'tis true. So anyway, your pastor's really, really trying hard. But, and that's where I am. That's where I need to start. And so where do you need to start? I just want you to choose one thing. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe there's unforgiveness in your heart today. Maybe you just need to reprioritize, because maybe that broken relationship has become apparent because of your mixed up priorities. Your career is your God. Hello? I could tell you of a truth coming to pastor this church nearly 17 years ago, and there only being 12 people in a school and having no office. There were days that I would commit myself to doing over and above what I should do, even at the expense of my family. I tried not to, but I know there were some times I did, because, God, I want to be a successful pastor. And don't we all want to be successful? But not at the expense of your wife, not at the expense of your children, not at the expense of your grandchildren. Reprioritize God, family, and work. Amen. Lukewarm Christian. Maybe you just don't have the fire burning anymore. Maybe you need to start attending church, not just when you feel like it, but you'll go with the psalmist and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not just because I feel like it. No, whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it, it's right. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we need to come together. Aren't we just better together? Maybe you're going to enroll in a life group, attend a Bible study, be a smart part of a group, because we do life better in relationships. Maybe you start reading your Bible. Maybe you'll begin fasting more than just in January. Huh? Turn up the heat a little bit. Maybe you'll go 21 days in March. Hey, you still get to eat? But you're eating plant food, not food processed in a plant. I told you this before, but I didn't say this. I love avocados. Nothing like avocados. Doesn't avocado and apodaca almost like just rhyme? All right. Maybe it's a rocky marriage. All right. Come on. Can God work in a rocky marriage? Absolutely He can. Just get your life on the rock. Begin praying together. Arrange a date night. Bring them this Friday to our youth fundraiser. Read a book together. I still remember my wife and I tell you, I still date my wife. We were just away in Denver for a date your mate night. 24 hour period. And I wish it was more. 36. 48. I don't want to embarrass her. All right, let me go out on a limb. How many of your husbands date your mate? Let me see your hands. Okay, if you're here and a husband, you can't do it. You need to pray that God will help you to tell the story we're telling. And it's going to be because now you know what you need to do. All right. You put it on the calendar. Ooh, women look forward when they see that that date is on the calendar and they're going to be with their man. But I remember we read a book together early on called Two-Part Harmony. And maybe just do that. Read a book together. Grow together. Grow spiritually together. Here's a story I want to read and leave with you that can motivate us to action. And the exciting thing about this story is this is about wicked King Ahab. Who? Wicked King Ahab. Bible doesn't say here wicked King Ahab, but I want you to know he was a wicked king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you know who he was married to? Who? Jezebel. Very wicked. They were entrenched in idolatry. They were just away from God. Persecuting God's prophets. And it says in 1 Kings 20, meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab. Now, isn't that awesome? God would send a wicked king a prophet? King of Israel, and announced, this is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it into your hand today, and then you will know that I am the Lord. But who will do this? Ahab asked. You see, this army was the Syrian army, and there were more of them than they. The prophet replied, this is what the Lord says. The young officers of the provincial commanders will do it. And who will start the battle? He asked. The prophet answered, come on, say it with me. You will. And who will start the battle? Regarding these small disciplines and the resisting the 12 cookies and the dozen donuts before you every day. Who will start the battle? Yeah, we're in a battle. If we're going to tell a story we're telling, you will. It will be the small disciplines that will make up the larger story. And here's the conclusion. Let's win this battle over greed and debt, over religion and legalism, over laziness. Or sloth, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, this is nothing more than the lust of the flesh. Man, I want to feed myself. Crucifying King's stomach is hard on this pastor. And I see it's hard on some of you too. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Hey, listen, you're not alone in this battle. Didn't Paul say in Romans chapter 7, the good I would to do, that I don't do? And then he would say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? But thanks be unto God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the, but after the. And you know what I'm doing right now? What am I doing? Lunges. Do you know, I'm trying to get my wife to the gym, and her favorite exercise is a cross between a lunge and a crunch. It's called lunch. All right, we're finished. Kelly, come on up. Let's go back to big idea, all right? Let's go back to big idea. I lost you on that one. All right. Decisions, the decisions. Come on, let's say them together. The decisions we make today will determine the story we'll tell tomorrow. Let's read about discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. If you want to stay in my size 33s, I better say no. Let's say it again. Now, today, ahora, February 10th, now is the time to start the battle of small disciplines that could lead to big changes. Would you stand with me? And as you stand, can I ask you in some respects to stand upright, stand erect? Because you as a soldier in the army of the Lord are in a spiritual battle today. If you're in this place, every head bowed and every eye closed, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day of a great beginning. Today you get to start to live. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. He'll give you eternal life today. And this is the testimony. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus is not the Savior of your soul, and you want to invite Him in today. That would be the best start of the year for you ever. Are you here and you need to make Jesus the Savior of your soul? Can I see your hands? Praise God, that means we're all saved. Look at me. Let's go take the gospel. Let's go share our story. Let's believe that God's going to use us. People are waiting for us to go tell the story. We have a story because of the greatest story ever told. How many of you would turn your eyes upon Jesus and just begin to worship Him? Because of what He's done for you. Let's just do that and we'll close our service.
Thanks for listening. Come be a part of our family. For more information, visit us at agfpw.org.